Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. You know, before I start my show this morning, I want you to think about a statistic. You know, there's statistics and then there's statistics, but this one's an important one. And I want you to think about it for a minute. And here's the statistic. It's really quite simple. Every day in America, 10,000 people turn 65. Now, as I begin to talk for the next hour or so, 45 minutes, whatever it is, about the issues of aging, I want you to keep that statistic in mind. That every day, 10,000 people in the United States turn 65. We have the largest mass transfer, generational transfer in the history of America going on today. Along with it comes the largest mass transfer of wealth. And along with it becomes the exposure to the long-term care industrial complex, because there's a lot of money involved here. And one of the things that people are going to have to do is they're going to have to begin to pay more attention to what's happening within that complex. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, and I hope you will listen not only with your head, but with your heart and with your soul, and try to internalize the stuff that I'm going to say. Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Broadcast here on KFBK and KSTE for 18 years. California's longest running show, most single, most reliable source of information on the issues of aging. Longer than anybody else. Still going strong. Hope to continue to go strong for quite some time. As they used to say, God willing and the creek don't rise. Glad to have you with us. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about. I have a California insurance license. I have had for 50 years. Doesn't have anything to do with anything, except I have to tell you that. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I am not a tax professional. Any advice given on this show is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. So don't believe anything I'm going to tell you. That said, my opinion is quite often correct. And we're going to talk about some of that this morning. There are a couple ways you can get a hold of me. One is, and the best way, is get to one of my workshops. I've got one coming up, the last one of the year, in December, is coming up in a couple weeks, and it'll be my last workshop of the year. If you haven't ever been to one of my workshops, I don't care how many other workshops you've been to on trusts or long-term care planning or whatever, you have never been to one of mine. You have never been to one like mine. It's not like anything else you're going to go to. And people who have been will tell you that. He talks about stuff nobody else talks about. He's blunt. He's honest. He's up front. So the easiest way to sign up for my workshop is by going to my website. It will be on the 17th of December. You can go to my website and you can sign up. My website is assetsandaging.com. That's assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And you can go there and you can get information. And you can sign up for my newsletter, and you can get a hold of me. You can call for, you can set up an appointment, or you can sign up for my upcoming workshop. and get some tickets in the mail or a phone call from me or whatever you need. But one of the ways to get information and make sure that you don't become a victim, I cannot tell you how many people I deal with who have been victimized by bad advice. I wish I could give you details. I got a phone call from an elder law attorney last night after hours saying, I've got somebody in my office and we went over the details and I can't give you the details, but suffice it to say that they have been victimized in a very, very, very large way. All over advice they were given about getting Medi-Cal for a spouse that's in a nursing home. And later on, we're going to talk a little bit about staying informed and staying up to date. But one of the ways to get a hold of me is just go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, or you can call me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. You can sign up for my free newsletter. You can also, you know, if you can't get to my workshop, put one together and I'll come to yours. I do work, private workshops all the time for groups or organizations or church, you know, Sunday school classes or whatever it is, and they're free. So if you ever would like me to come to your group or organization, just give me a call. And, you know, as long as it's not like in Oregon or someplace. Now, if it's in Hawaii, I might come. But then I will be happy to come and do a little workshop for your group or organization for free. I do that all the time. From, you know, all kinds. I've done probably 2,000 speaking engagements, folks. And a lot of them have been in front of private groups or organizations. One of my last ones was in front of an investment club. And we talked about getting older. Everybody's going to get older, by the way. Everybody is going to get older. Everybody is going to get older. And everybody, as they get older, is going to begin to lose their ability to stay independent. And when that happens, you must be able to answer the two great questions of aging. Who's going to take care of me, and how am I going to pay for it? So let's talk about, let's go back to that. Let's see, let me see. Did I forget anything? I think I've said everything that I have to say at the beginning of every show. One other thing. While you're on my website, this radio show is archived, as are all my other radio shows, on my website, so you can listen to them at your leisure. In addition, every Wednesday at noon, I do a live podcast on a current subject, and those podcasts are archived. There's all kinds of information there. There's my recent visit to Channel 40 News. There's my recent article in the interview in the Sacramento Business Journal are there. Lots of information, lots of things you can read, lots of things that will make a difference in your life. 10,000 people a day in the United States turn 65. What does that mean? Well, it used to mean they were going to retire. It doesn't mean that anymore. Lots of people, I'm 71, I'm still working. I'd go out of my mind if I tried to retire. I like what I do. I believe in what I do. Lots of people continue to work past 65. So it used to mean we retired at 65. It also means that if you made it to 65, you're going to live longer than had you died, you know, at 55. Because the older, you say, well, that makes no sense. Yes, it does, because the older you get, the longer you live. If you're a 65-year-old female, you're going to live at least another 2 decades on average. Stop and think about that for a minute. If you're a 65-year-old female, you're going to live another 2 decades on average. If you're a male, you're going to live on average another decade and a half. That's a long time for you to have to be taken care of. Now, in the early parts, you may be able to take care of yourself. You can walk. You can drive. Your mom can walk. Your mom can drive. Go to the grocery store. Go to the doctor. Take a little walk. Do your own dishes. Take your own shower. All of those kinds of things. But as those decade and a half to two decades begin to move on, I will guarantee you, you are going to become less able to do the things that you could do the day you turn 65. It's just a fact of life. It's not a maybe. It's not an optional. It's an is. Get a little drink of water here. And as that happens, our needs, our desires, our wants, our situations are going to change. And sometimes they're going to change dramatically. They're going to change in ways we can't imagine. Even though we all know somebody that as they got older, they became much more frail, they became demented, they became unable to walk, unable to bathe themselves, their personal hygiene became bad. We all know somebody like that. So if I sat you down at a desk and I said, I want you to do make a little list. And I want you to make a little list of the following things. How many of you could do that today? And here would be my little list. When I do a family conference, I have an outline that I give to families. And in fact, I sent one to somebody yesterday. And it's an outline for holding a family. It's an agenda for holding a family conference. And on it is listed all the things, or not all the things, but some outlines of things that people need to do as they begin to sit down with their families. And with the holidays coming, this is the perfect time. So here's what I want you to write. Now, if you're driving down a road, don't write this on a piece of paper. Listen to the show later on my website and then do it. But as you get older, you know, 10,000 people a day are turning 65. Now, all of those people, not all of them, but most of them are going to turn 66. Most of them are going to turn 67. Most of them are going to turn 70. Most of them are going to turn 75. So as I progress through the years, I want you to write down today the value of your home. I want you to, my house is worth $300,000, whatever it's worth. I want you to write down today how much money you have. How much money do you have in the bank, in stocks and bonds, in savings, in securities, in IRAs? Write it down. Write it down. You just turned 65. You're retired. Write it down. Then I want you to do something else. I want you to write down your income every month from pensions and Social Security. Then I want you to put a hash, a slanted line behind the first number if you're married, and then I want you to write another number, which would be the income after one of you died, after dad died, because almost always the income is going to go down. Now, here's what I want you to do. So if you're a 65-year-old female, your life expectancy is about 20 years. So what I want you to do is I want you to take the value of your home, and I want you to take the value of your money, okay? And then I want you to pick a number out of the air about, as you get older, how much it's going to cost if you need help. So if you needed home care, so I had somebody in my office yesterday that has somebody coming in and taking care of them at home, and they're paying $5,000 a month part-time for somebody to come in and take care of a relative, a loved one. If you're going to go to assisted living, it's going to cost you $5,000 to $6,000 a month in today's dollars. Now remember, if you're 65, you may not need this for another 10 years, So guess what's going to happen to the cost? But that's okay. Let's do it based on today. So let's say you agree that to get help for dad or mom or whatever is going to cost $5,000 a month or whatever the number is. So I want you to take $5,000 times 12. That's $60,000. So it's going to cost $60,000 a year to take care of mom or dad or yourself or your loved one or whatever when you get to the point where you can't take care of yourself. Now I want you to divide that into the number, the value of what you own, including your house and your assets. So let's say those total $600,000. So if you added up the value of your house and you added up the value of your money, you got $600,000. So if you needed to pay $6,000 a month for care, your $600,000 would last you 10 years. If you had to pay $60,000 a year for care into $600,000 in assets, your money would last you 10 years. And you'd still have some money left over because you'd have some income still coming in. But what if that cost went to $80,000 a year or $100,000 a year? I had somebody check into a nursing home yesterday. It's $10,000 a month today. That's $120,000 a year today. 10 years from now, how much do you think care is going to be? Do you think it will be more, or do you think it will be less? And if you're including your house, but you want to live at home, have you thought through how do you use the value of your house to help you stay at home? It's one of the few places, by the way, I believe in reverse mortgages, is to stay at home so that mom or dad can stay at home. No, I don't sell them. Don't worry. I can refer you to people who do and who are smarter than I am. But remember, the two great questions are who's going to take care of me, which we haven't gotten to, and how am I going to pay for it? So if 10,000 people a day are turning 65 in the United States, how many of them do you think are having the conversation we just had? You know, Mildred, we're getting older. We may need care. The answer is almost none of them. And the reason why is because everybody thinks they have until tomorrow. Everybody thinks they have until next week. Everybody thinks. I had a family in my office the other day. And one of the parents is in the early, and starting to show signs of dementia. And we talked about what they could do to protect everything and do what they needed to do because there were nothing in place. And, you know, and they all went home to think about it. Now, do you think the parent with dementia is going to get better or worse? Do you think that family is going to be driven more into crisis, or the problem will all go away? So almost none of the, and that's somebody that's in the middle of something. Almost nobody, when they turn 65, sits down and says, you know, Mildred, we're going to start getting older here, and we have to start thinking about these things. No, nobody thinks about that. People don't think about that until it's too late. People come into my office and the elder law attorneys that I know that are very smart people, we all have the same discussion with each other all the time. The number of people who walk into our office and it's too late. People who have been listening to us for 10 years, 5 years, 7 years. I had somebody come into my office the other day who's been to at least 5 of my workshops, maybe 6. Years and years and years, didn't do anything. Now the spouse is in the hospital, extremely ill, and there's probably nothing we can do. But just kept coming and coming and coming and gathering information. Never acting on the information, but gathering information. So if you're one of the 10,000 people turning in the United States, turning 65 today, or 66, or 68, or 73, or whatever it is, Have you had that discussion? We haven't gotten to the second question. It's actually the first question, but we're only talking about the second question. We're looking at the reality of the finances based on life expectancy. And trying to get around the myth that it won't happen to me. All right, now I'm just talking basic stuff. You know, it won't happen to me. I don't have to worry about it. It's not going to happen to me. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to drop dead tomorrow. It's not going to happen to me. It's all going to be fine. Yada, yada, yada. So, given the reality that 10,000 people are turning 65 every day in the United States and will for a lot of more years, when we talk about what's facing this country, we talk about all kinds of things. We talk about immigration. We talk about Social Security. We talk about pensions. We talk about this. We talk about politics. But I'm telling you right now, folks, the greatest challenge this country is going to face is an aging population. And we are not addressing it. Not just the cost of taking care of the aging, but for instance, I will give you an example. It used to be, it used to be that workers retired at 65. Everybody retired at 65, got your pension, got your Social Security, retired, went fishing. And that did what? Sociologically, that did what? It opened up a job for a younger person. Well, now people work because they have to, because they never asked the question at 65. So when was the last time you went into a fast food place or a business of some kind and you're being waited on by a 75-year-old man or woman who's still working? And they're still working because they couldn't afford not to, because they never asked the question when they turned 65. Now, the ripple-down effect of that is that person who's still working at 75 or 80 or 85, I'm self-employed, so I'm not taking anybody's job away. So the fact that I'm still working, I don't have any employees, it doesn't take someone else's job away. But that guy working in the mill or working wherever who continues to work because he can't afford to retire or he can't afford care or he can't afford whatever it means that someone younger is not going to be able to fill that job. It has sociological effects and impacts that we don't talk about. Not to mention the healthcare costs and what's coming, because we are living longer and longer and longer and longer and longer and longer lives. So my first challenge to you this morning, and I'll have another one in the second half hour. My first challenge to you is you're turning 65. You're going to live another 15 to 20 years. You know what the life expectancy of an 80-year-old woman is, folks? It's almost a decade. It's 9.33 years. Stop and think about that for a minute. Not only did she make it from 65 to 80, she made it 15 years. She's going to make it another 10 years. So her life expectancy from age 65 is 25 years in that case. That's 25 years of care. How are we going to pay for it? How are we going to provide for it as a country, as a family? If you haven't begun to ask that question and you haven't explored it, then sit down, call me at 800-999-8007 and get into my office and let's start working on it for you or your family so you're not another one of the many victims that walks in after the fact and the money's gone. 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, Sign up for my workshop on the 17th. Don't miss it. It's the last one of the year. But begin to make a difference and begin to explore the subject. 10,000 people a day in the United States turn 65, officially become seniors. Foods are going to change. Restaurants are going to change. It's going to have an impact on everything. What impact is it going to have on your life financially, and are you prepared for it? I'm going to take a little break, as we must do, so we can do the news and the weather and the traffic and all the great stuff that we do right here on KFBK and KSDE. I'll be back in a few minutes, and then we're going to talk about part two of this question, the part about who's going to take care of me. So stick around. Give me a call, 800-999-8007. Get in to see me. We'll be back in just a few seconds right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Don't go away. Okay, I'm back right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Don't forget, you can check my website out at assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. You can also give me a call at 800-999-8007. Don't forget, if you go to my website, you can listen to my archived radio shows, podcasts, articles in the Business Journal, my latest stint on Channel 40, all kinds of stuff you can go there and look at. You can sign up for my upcoming workshop, the last one of the year here in December. You can go to my website, sign up for my workshop on the 17th. And again, it'll be my last one of the year. And again, if you've never been to one of my workshops, you've never been to a workshop quite like it. It's not like anything you've ever been to or understand or will ever understand again. It's just not. It's just different. It's different than anything else that you will ever go to. So I want to make sure that you have that information. Again, you can call me at 800-999-8007, and we'll go from there. And we'll talk about getting you in to see me, getting to the workshop, or answering your questions. So the first half of the hour, we talked about, what happens when I get a little older, and 10,000 people a day are turning 65 in the United States, and we talked about the economics of it. Now I want to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. And I think it's the more important of the two questions. The economic question can be answered fairly quickly and fairly easily. I mean, seriously, it can be answered fairly quickly and fairly easily. You look at the economics, you get the answer, you do some math, and you're done. The first question, though, of the two that I always ask people, who's going to take care of me, is a much harder question to answer. It's a question families don't have an answer to. Now, the obvious answer is, if I'm married, who's going to take care of me? Well, my spouse is going to take care of me. Mildred's going to take care of me, whoever it is. That's who's going to take care of me. But the real issue is, somewhere down the road, what if my spouse is not available to take care of me? What if I'm going to be taking care of my wife, but I die first? What if I'm going to be taking care of my wife, but I get sick? What if neither one of us can take care of the other because we have developed physical or mental problems that don't allow us to really provide for each other? I can't tell you how many children I know of that are taking care of two parents, not one, two, because their parents can't manage each other, and so the children, the ones that are involved, not all children are willing to get involved, the children that are willing to get involved are involved in two parents. I have parents living in different places because dad's in assisted living and mom is still staying at home, and we're trying to figure out the costs and the care and who does all that stuff. I had somebody in my office the other day, yesterday or the day before, I don't remember when. People think I make these stories up, folks. I don't. They're actual, it happened. And they have a caregiver for mom of 4.5 hours a day. And I said, well, can mom do this? And no. And I said, well, what happens to the other 20 hours in the day? And she said, we do a rotating among our family 7 days a week. We just rotate in, and we try to take care of mom at home. And because it immediately became clear to me that the 4.5 hours a day of for a paid caregiver is not enough for what they were describing this person as. So the family of kids, I forget how many kids there are, 5 or 6 kids, they rotate around the clock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, making sure that somebody's there all the time to make sure mom's okay. I'll guarantee you that's not what they planned for their lives. Yet it's a very, very, very common scenario. It's a very common scenario. Are you going through that now? Have you, again, 10,000 people a day turn 65 in the United States. The first half hour we said, have they talked about finances of long-term care? Have they talked about how they're going to pay for care? This one is, have you had the discussion about who's going to take care of you? And have you had that discussion with the person you think is going to take care of you? Do you think it's going to be one of your children? Do you think it's going to be both of your children? Do you think it's going to be all three of your children? Do they have the authority to take care of you? Well, of course, they're my children. No. Are there documents in place that are going to let them take care of you? Well, we did a power of attorney. You did? What does it say? Well, what do you mean, what does it say? What does it say? Does it say your children can get paid? If you're incompetent, do your documents say that your children can pay themselves out of your funds if you don't know about it? Which children can make medical decisions? Well, all of my children. I love all my children. Do your documents say all of your children can make medical or financial decisions, or just some of them? Can they pick a facility? Can they sign a contract? What about arbitration agreements? Can they protect money? Can they create trust? Can they amend trust? Can they alter trust? What if I only have a will? Will's only go into effect when I die. They don't have anything to do with my children's ability to manage my affairs if I'm alive. What if I need a conservator? All of those things have to come into discussion of who's going to take care of me. And then, have you had the discussion with that person? Jenny, are you willing to take care of me? And where are you going to be taken care of? Is Jenny going to come and live in your home? Or are you going to go live in Jenny's home? And if you go to live in Jenny's home, what happens to your home? If there's 3 kids and you're living in Jenny's home, is it okay with the other 2 kids that Jenny gets paid out of your money for taking care of you? Sometimes jealousy erupts. Sometimes family discussions that are not pleasant happen. So the question of who's going to take care of me is not a frivolous question. It's deeper than the first one. The financial question is easy to figure out. Either you have the money or you don't have the money. The who's going to take care of me? Now, this is going to get a little indelicate, and I do not apologize. But is that person prepared to deal with the things that they're going to have to deal with in your life when you get older? Sons, are you prepared to bathe your mother? Daughters, are you prepared to bathe your father? Are you prepared to clean up bodily fluids? Are you willing to deal with a demented parent who breaks things and has temper tantrums and strikes out at you? Are you willing to take care of a parent who is demented, who goes walkabout and is found 6 blocks away? How many of you have had phone alerts from the sheriff's department? All of a sudden your phone rings and it says, hi, this is the sheriff's department. We're looking for an 89-year-old man who went. How many of you have had those phone calls? I get them regularly, and not only at my office, but on my home phone and on my cell phone. Are you prepared to deal with a parent who is going to walk out the front door not to be seen for a day and then deal with Adult Protective Services when they want to know why your dad was found 8 blocks away? Are you prepared to deal with that, and are you prepared to be honest about that? That you're prepared. Oh, I love my mother. Of course I want to take care of my mother. This has nothing to do with love. If you didn't love your mother, it would be much easier, because then you could just say, hey, good luck, Mom. The fact that you love your mother means you really have to address all of these issues, because you're going to be the one taking care of her. And by the way, I will tell you this. This is primarily a women's issue. Why? Because most caregivers are what? Daughters. Sometimes sons, but usually women. Who usually winds up taking care of their husband? The wife. Who usually winds up taking care of mom after dad dies? One or two or three of the daughters. Is the caregiver that you've picked, do they live close? Or are you going to have to move to Ohio so that your daughter can take care of you? I can keep going on asking questions. I think you get it. I think you understand. I also want you to understand that as you deal with this subject, how hard it is to be a caregiver. No, it has nothing to do with love. I love my mom, therefore I do this joyously. Yes, you do it joyously, but you cannot imagine in your wildest imagination how hard it is. You can't. People will say to me, well, it's like taking care of a 5-year-old. No, it's not. You can control a 5-year-old. You can't control your 80-year-old mother or father. It's nothing like taking care of a 5-year-old. It's on a different planet. So have you been honest with this subject? Well, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Okay. So therefore, we've just ruled out children as being caregivers. So now, if you need help, you're saying you want to be in a commercial setting, an institutional setting, an assisted living, a board and care, an independent living, or something like that. Yes, I don't want to be a burden on my children, so therefore, when the time comes, I'm going to go into assisted living. Okay, which one? What do you mean, which one? Well, which one? Have you looked at any of them? Do you know what to look for? Do you know how to judge them? Well, I'll get a placement agency. Is that right? Do you know the placement agency gets paid up to 2 months of rent? Do you know you don't need a placement agency and you can bargain the price down because the facility doesn't have to pay the placement agent up to $15,000 in commissions? Do you know what to look for in a facility? Do you know the difference between a board and care and assisted living and independent living? Do you know what a continuing care retirement community looks like and how that works? Do you know about upfront fees? Do you know about waiting lists? Do you know about options that facility has? Do you know about the what I call the long-term care industrial complex? That who's has access to you? What salespeople that the facility makes commissions off of are you going to be invited to workshops and seminars inside the facility that you're going to attend? And do you understand how all of that works? Do you understand all the kickbacks that go on inside facilities and all of that? Do you understand the difference between rehab and a long-term care facility? Do you understand the difference between short-term stays and long-term stays? Do you understand how home care really works? If I'm going to hire an agency, which agency am I going to hire? What are they responsible for? Are the people that are coming to see me licensed? Are they unlicensed? I don't have a bias one way or the other. I know really good caregivers, who are not registered nurses. But do you know? Do you know how to go find them? Remember, we eliminated your children as being the caregivers, so we've moved on. If your children aren't going to be the caregivers, who's going to be, and how are you going to pick them? Where do you go? How do you know? So in the first half hour, we dealt with how are we going to pay for it. Now we're dealing with what I think is the much more important and critical one: who's going to take care of me? Now, I want to go back to spouses for a minute. Well, if dad goes bonkers, mom's going to take care of him. Okay, no problem. Dad is 80 years old and he weighs 180 pounds. Mom is 80 years old and she weighs 110 pounds. So how's it going to go with mom getting dad in and out of the bathtub? How's it going to go with mom changing dad's Depends? How's it going to go with mom changing dad's clothes? How's it going to go when mom has to go to the grocery store and has to take her demented husband with her, or worse yet, leave her demented husband at home and hope everything's okay by the time she gets back because he promised to stay inside? In one-third of the cases, the well spouse dies first. In a larger percentage of the cases, the well spouse suffers from depression, from lack of sleep, from weariness, and from physical ailments brought on by taking care of the well spouse. And again, none of it has to do with love. Well, I love my wife. I love my husband. Of course I would sacrifice. I don't doubt that for a minute. But what happens when we kill off the well spouse, taking care of the ill spouse? Now we're back to the question of who takes care of the ill spouse. We're back to, is it going to be one of the children? Is it going to be an institution? Is it going to be assisted living? Is it going to be an in-home caregiver? Can we afford it? All of those kinds of questions have to be asked and answered. It's one of the reasons why when people come to see me, I really encourage them to bring the family, because this has to be a family discussion. Here's why. Again, first of all, we all need to be on who's going to be doing all this. Secondly, do we know where all of mom and dad's stuff are? If you're going to take care of mom, do you know where her bank accounts are? Do you have access to her bank accounts? Can you change banks? Can you close bank accounts? Can you have yourself appointed the designated payee on mom's pensions and Social Security in case mom becomes incompetent? Do you have the authority to move mom to another state if she's going to go stay with somebody else? Do you know where her pension is? Do you know if she has an IRA? Do you have the authority to deal with the mortgage on the house? Do you have, I can go on and on and on and on. You begin to understand what I'm saying. All of these are different questions than the questions most people focus on when they're drawing up a plan. And the average focus is on one issue. Those of you who've been listening to me for a while know what the issue is. When mom and dad are dead, we want to leave everything to our three wonderful children. But very few people ask the question, what happens if I don't die? If I die, it's relatively straightforward. There's a funeral, everybody feels bad, everybody tries to comfort the surviving spouse if there is one, everybody feels bad, and then life goes on. We live in the same house, we eat the same food, life pretty much goes on. But very few people ever ask themselves the question, what if I don't die? What if I'm alive, but I'm not capable of taking care of myself? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? I don't know. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know. You better know. It's going to become imperative that you know. Because your mom or your dad, if you're one of the children that you're going to be taking care of, may not be able to give you instruction at that point because they don't know what planet they live on. There was a huge, gigantic article in the Wall Street Journal Tuesday. Go read it. It's on. From memory, I think it's on page A11, and it's something that a lot of us have known intuitively for years. I've known it. Other elder law attorneys have known it, recognized it, and that is people with dementia. When something physical happens in their life, they fall, break a hip, have a surgery, have a minor stroke, their dementia is as if someone flipped a switch and it accelerates literally almost overnight. Well, the other day I'm cruising through the Wall Street Journal, which is the only newspaper that really does any issues on aging. They really are. There's nobody else. The article caught my attention, and it had to do with surgeries, I started reading. Anyhow, UCSF has started paying attention to the fact that after major surgeries in older people, their dementia increases dramatically, sometimes to the point where that person then winds up in a nursing home the rest of their life. Not because the surgery was unsuccessful. The surgery was completely successful. But they began to understand that the surgery and the anesthesia and the shock to the body increased the dementia or the Alzheimer's. So UCSF has started a program where, and again, I don't have the article in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it was from, what's today? Today is the 1st, so I think the 29th, of the Wall Street Journal on page A11, if I remember. It's in my office, and you can also listen to my podcast from last Wednesday. I mentioned it in my podcast. And what they've started doing is started giving cognitive exams to everybody. Now, this is just the heart department. That's who kind of has discovered this. So right now, it's limited to heart surgeries at UCFS. But they've started giving cognitive exams to people 65 and over who are looking toward some kind of heart surgery. And the reason they're doing it is, what happens if I make, this is a simplification of the article, but what happens if I make dad's heart better, but comes out of surgery not knowing who his family is because his dementia has increased so much? Or he's completely confused, or he can't participate in rehab because he can't focus because his dementia is so increased. I have seen this years and years and years anecdotally. People who are old who have a hip replacement, and all of a sudden they have a bypass surgery, and all of a sudden their dementia increases, or they fall and break a rib and have to go to rehab, and their dementia increases. I applaud UCSF for getting involved in this and beginning to notice this. So for those of you, that your mom is 88 years old and is going in for hip surgery, have you had the discussion with the doctor about what this might do mentally? Could this create more problems with her dementia or her forgetfulness or her Alzheimer's, which is going to lead to what? The need for more care when she comes home. All of these things are beginning to happen as we get older. And as I said, 10,000 people a day in the United States turn 65. We have to begin to start having these conversations with our families. That's why I said I like families that come in and we start having these kinds of conversations. And sometimes they're very difficult. And I'm very factual. I want people to confront this. Lots of people accuse me of being very direct. Well, yes, I am, and I'll take that badge willingly, because this is real stuff. And moving around the edges and pretending that this isn't going to happen, or that somehow I'm going to escape it, or it's going to be different with me and my family, is naive at best and dangerous at worst. It's a really big issue, and families need to confront the fact that we're all getting older and that the elder population is growing and is going to have great societal impact. And we better start paying attention to it, and the best place to start is at the family level. So if you're a family and you've begun to notice this in yourself or in your parents or in whoever it is, I don't care who it is, then you better start getting involved. Come and see me. Set up an appointment. Call my office, 800-999-8007. Get in to see me. Make a difference. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Get to the upcoming workshop. It's the last one of the year. But begin to confront this in your family openly with an open heart, an open mind, but a directed purpose. I can't tell you how important it is. Children, you have to get involved. Parents, you have to let your children get involved. They're the ones that are going to be taking care of you, or at least making the decisions on how you're taken care of. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Take advantage of the season. And as your family grows together and you meet, agree to arrange a time to set up a family conference. I'll help facilitate it. It's free. You can come to my office, or in some cases, I'll even come to you. But begin to address the issues of aging. 800-999-8007. Get to my upcoming workshop. You can check it out on my website, assetsandaging.com. Again, I want to tell you what a privilege it is to come here every week and to be able to do this. I like what I do. It makes a difference in people's lives. I know that because they tell me. Together as a family, you can deal with this. Make the decision today to deal with the issues of aging. We'll see you here again next week, same time, same channel, same place, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day and a great holiday.